So let me begin today by asking a question. Did the Apostle Paul, that great church planter and theologian of the church, and by the way, we owe so much to the Apostle Paul. I'm really looking forward. We're going to do a series on Ephesians starting in January after Christmas. So we were in conversation one day about where we should go in our preaching, and I'm like, we haven't done anything from the Apostle Paul in a long time. So they were receptive to that idea. So did Paul, that great leader of the early church, come to faith in Jesus by studying his Bible? I got a no. No? You mean he wasn't one day reading the scroll of Isaiah and say, I got it all wrong. This Jesus of Nazareth fellow really is the Messiah. Is that what happened? No, you guys have been reading the book of Acts. That's not fair. So actually, what happened was he hated Jesus of Nazareth, right? He hated that imposter so much that he was bound and determined that he would find all followers of the way, all the followers of Jesus, and have them arrested and thrown into jail. And he did that in Jerusalem. Then he wasn't satisfied with that. He got letters to go to Samaria. You know the story. He's on his way there to stamp this out. And a bright light appears to him from heaven. And a voice speaks to him. And Saul says, who are you, Lord? And the answer changed his life, right? I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. Game changer. He really was the Messiah, is the Messiah. And so Saul became Paul, and he had a new relationship with Jesus, and then he went back to scriptures with a new perspective for more information. Why do I share that today? I think it's an important distinction. But before I tell you what it is, I would have to say that that's my story too. I came to faith in Christ through circumstances, through God's people and their kindness, and I would say through them, through the Holy Spirit, God opened my eyes and I came to know Jesus. And then I went to the Bible for more information. So we're talking about the Bible today, and as wonderful as the Bible is not the foundation of our faith. Is that a shocking thing to say? The Bible is not the foundation of our faith. Jesus, who died and rose again, is the foundation of our faith. So I think that's an important distinction. Jesus is a sure foundation. A lot of people maybe miss that. They think other things or different ways of approaching Scripture might be the foundation of their faith. But for me, the resurrection, and I think this is a New Testament answer, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the foundation of my faith, if I had to boil it down to one thing. Now, the Bible is wonderful. It's a wonderful gift to us. So we are a people learning about and in love with Jesus. Let's go to the Bible and learn more about him and the life that he has for us. Have you ever read your Bible and then said, oh, that is just what I needed to hear today? Anybody had that experience? Good. I have often done that. Sometimes in a surprising way. I just finished Jeremiah yesterday, and I just have to confess that I like Jeremiah, but I was really happy to finish Jeremiah. It's kind of depressing, right? So, but even in the midst of what is often a depressing message from Jeremiah, I found words of instruction, words of encouragement, even words of hope. Sometimes when we read the Bible, we might find a word of encouragement. Maybe a word of wisdom. Sometimes it gives me perspective, or sometimes it helps me make a much-needed mid-course correction. God speaks to us in a variety of ways, and one of the ways, perhaps the most clearly, is through the Bible. So that's what we're going to talk about today. When we take time to read and study the Bible daily, we learn who God is and what He wants for us. We learn to hear His voice. Maybe you were here our first Sunday and we saw that video of the shepherd calling the sheep, and the sheep, when they heard the shepherd's voice, went, because they knew His voice. And one of the easiest ways to learn to hear the voice of God and to recognize it is by reading and studying and obeying the Bible. So we learn who God is. We learn to hear His voice. God speaks through the Bible. So we're going to begin today by looking at what the Bible says about itself. And if you have your Bibles, I'll invite you to turn to our anchoring text in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy 3. There's Bibles in front of you, or if you want to turn there on your phone. 2 Timothy 3, 14 through 17. Here's the setting. Paul, that great church planner, is writing to encourage his son in the faith, Timothy, who is pastoring a church. Paul encourages Timothy to follow his example of sound teaching. He writes in chapter 1, verse 13, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, who correctly handles the word of truth." And then this, 2 Timothy 3, 14 through 17. "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." So, what is the Bible? Paul tells us that the Word of God is inspired, or God-breathed, or the product of God's breath. The two Greek words used here are God and breath, thus the translation God breathed. And it calls to mind the creation account in Genesis, where God creates everything, and God creates man and then breathes life into him. And God breathes His Holy Spirit into human authors so that the final product, the inspired writings, are just what God had in mind. I love how the Apostle Peter talks about that. I'm going to read from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. Peter writes, "Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." I love that. So it's both a human process and a God thing. So, for example, again, back to the Apostle Paul. He's dictating a letter to the church in Ephesus. He's carried along by the Holy Spirit so that the final product is not only the thoughts and words of Paul, but also the words of God. It's God-breathed. So we believe that the Bible is a special gift from God to us. And when we read and study it, when we apply it to our lives and do what it asks us to do, we discover who God is and what He has for us. God speaks through the Bible. So, what is the Bible? What can it do? The Bible explains how we can be rescued by Jesus. Paul phrases it this way, that can make us wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So as we read the Bible, we find out the truth about ourselves. Left to ourselves, we are lost, trapped in sin. Through Jesus, God opens a way for us to be rescued. So as we put our faith in Jesus, we are forgiven and begin a whole new life. Well, what does that look like? Read on. Read on. That's what we find in the Bible. What can the Bible do? Absolutely nothing if we don't pick it up and read it, right? But if we make it part of our lives, part of our thoughts, our core values, one of our life choices, it can transform us and we can become more like Jesus. I started following Jesus when I was 18 years old, and that summer I worked as a counselor at a Salvation Army camp on Seneca Lake. They gave me one free period a day, and I would run back to my cabin, grab my paperback New International Version, and run to the dock and read. I was reading that summer, the Gospel of John. And if you had given me a choice, even then as a 19-year-old, of dinner or Bible, I would have picked Bible. They were words of life to me. I was hungry to know God. And I'm still reading the Bible and studying it 43 years later. And I still have so much to learn. And I mean that. What can the Bible do? It can teach us. Paul says it's useful for teaching. If you misunderstand who God is, if you have a distorted understanding of who God is, it will keep you from the life that God has for you. So how can we get an accurate picture of God? Read and study the Bible. How can you know God's will? Read and study the Bible and apply what you read. The Bible will correct us. If you come to the Bible with your mind made up and your attitudes locked down, you will not be coachable. We talked a little bit about this last week. A good coach can help us see things from a different perspective, can correct us, can give us some new ideas. Try this. To profit from a coach, you have to be coachable, open to learning, humble and hungry. So as I asked before, I'll ask it again today. Are you coachable? When God thinks about you, when God thinks about me, does he smile and say, oh, what a joy to coach that person? Or does God say, I mean, have you ever met somebody that, like, even if Jesus showed up in person and tried to talk to them, that they probably wouldn't listen? Are we coachable? God can use the Bible to bring out the best in us. Paul tells us the Bible is useful for training in righteousness. God wants you to be righteous, to be right with him, to live in a way that pleases him. And we are all in training in righteousness. We're all in training as we follow Jesus. Let me give you an example again from Paul's writing to the church in Colossae. Paul says, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders, making the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so you may know how to answer everyone. Am I wise as I interact with people who don't yet know Jesus? Is my conversation always gracious? Is it seasoned with salt so they want to hear more? God can use the Bible to make us useful workers. Paul ends this section with this, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. I never want to be in a situation where I'm not able to respond in a way that's helpful. Like, I'm just not ready. I haven't done the hard work of inner preparation to be ready to respond in a gracious and helpful way. I want, when those opportunities come, many of you know I do pastoral counseling, right? And do I ever know what I'm going to hear when I go into that room? I never do. Couldn't predict. And so the only thing I can do is to prepare myself to be a good listener, to be wise, to be in touch with the Spirit of God so that I can really be helpful. That's some of what the Bible can do for us. God provides a rich resource for us in the Bible. Here's our part. And before we talk about methods of Bible study, let's first talk about our posture or the attitude that we bring to the Bible, because reading the Bible is not the same as reading the newspaper. Right? I guess it could be, but it shouldn't be. In his book, Shaped by the Word, Robert Mulholland talks about the difference between informational reading and transformational reading. When our goal is to get more information, like when we read a newspaper, we read critically. We should. We judge the book and take from it what we like or can use. Informational reading. And there's nothing wrong with that. But if we approach the Bible with the same mindset, it'll not have the power to shape us or make us more like Jesus. But if we come to the Bible to listen to God, to hear the Holy Spirit speak to us, open to what God might teach us with a commitment to do what he says, the result is transformation. Because we desire to be changed by God, before we read, we pray. So I love this prayer. I found this in the book, Shaped by the Word. This is one of Robert Mulholland's prayers. Oh God, once again we turn to you. We come to you in our incompleteness that you may complete us. We come to you in our brokenness that you might make us whole. We come to you in our disease that you might heal us. Help us to open the deeps of our lives to you, that in what we read you may be able to work in us that which you propose for us in your perfect will for our wholeness. Stir our hearts, stimulate our minds, have your way with us. And for all you are doing, for all you are going to do, we give you thanks and praise. Amen. Isn't that good? Talking about the posture we bring to reading the Bible. A humble spirit and an open heart and mind will open doors for us as we read the Bible. Now some thoughts on methods. Read and study it every day. Find a time of day that works for you. I love mornings. And then do it consistently. Find a place where you can do it. This helps you form a habit. And the only way to form a habit is by repetition. Here's a disclaimer. The heavens won't open every day that you read the Bible. Right? But the effect is cumulative. Over time, as you invest in your relationship with God, you will grow. Have a reading plan. Now, here in Bayview on the sermon outline, you might look at that, and there's readings for Monday through Friday. We started that a couple of years ago when we were doing an overview of the Old Testament, and somebody approached me and said, can you keep doing it? And I'm like, I'll do it if you'll use it. So we've been doing it ever since. During this When God Speaks series, the Sunday morning message introduces the topic, and then you have readings in the book every day. And so during this series, these readings will be taking further what we've talked about today. Usually, the readings prepare us for the message on Sunday. So that's one plan. There are many, but if you've been doing the daily readings during this series and it's something new for you, have in mind a plan of what you're going to do when this is over. Because I don't know about you, but I'm not holy enough to just pick up the Bible and say, what am I going to read today? Because I probably just won't. Have a plan. Ask God to help you understand and apply what you read, and then apply it to your life. If you're reading a story, ask yourself, what does this character teach me, either by good example or by bad? If you're reading a letter, ask yourself, what is in this letter for me today? If you're reading one of the Gospels, ask yourself, what am I learning about Jesus? And how does Jesus want to reshape me? When we apply what we read in God's Word, we're partnering with the Holy Spirit. We're giving God an opportunity to speak into our lives. And I often wonder if we were to compare the amount of time when God is speaking to us with the amount of input we have from the television or sports radio or fill in the blank. How much time are we giving God to speak to us? And then, if appropriate, share it with somebody else, if appropriate. The Bible isn't a book of magic. We can't use it to get what we want, right? It's relational. These aren't spells. There's no magic words, right? The Bible isn't old and irrelevant. It's ever new and timeless and relevant. The Bible isn't a hobby. We don't read it to find out what day Jesus is coming back. We read it to find out what we're supposed to be doing so that when he does come back, he'll find us doing the work of the kingdom. The Bible isn't an idol. We don't worship it. We worship God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But the Bible is a gift to us. And if I'm messing with you today, that's good. The Bible isn't easy or simple. It isn't. But it gets easier to understand over time. And trust me, it's worth the effort. And the best way to read the Bible is to be part of a community group or a discussion group. Especially if you're kind of new, but even if you're not, just to be able to discuss it with other followers is good. It's a treasure. Go and unpack it. And over time, as you come to this treasure of God's Word, you will come to know the character and the ways of God. This will help you discern His will. When we sense that God is speaking to us through the Holy Spirit, or maybe through a friend, or maybe through circumstances, which can be tricky, we bring these things back to what we have learned from the Bible, and we ask, does this make sense from what I know about God? Does this square with Scripture? As a student of God and His Word, does this seem wise or foolish, helpful or dangerous? And we can become, over time, wise. We're not presumptuous. We don't say, well, I know what God wants in this situation, unless it's a matter of sin. But over time, we're growing in this relationship with God, who in His kindness has given us so much information, right? So much to learn. So if you are new in your faith, I invite you, start in the New Testament, pick one of the Gospels, find out who Jesus is. That's the place to begin. If maybe you've been a Bible student at different times of your life, and this happens so easily, you've gotten out of the habit, today would be the perfect time to start back in this habit. If you've been a follower of Jesus for a long time, maybe you need to do something new. Maybe you need to read more. Maybe you need to be part of a new community group or something. Maybe you need to start reading in a new translation. I don't know. Keep it fresh, like any relationship, right? Keep it fresh. But I invite you to read and study and, like Ruthie said, apply, like James said, apply what you learn. Do it. Let God use it to shape your life. I am on this year 43 of this journey, And I invite you to join me. Let's respond. We always take a moment when we hear God's word to think about, how does this apply to me? What am I going to do in response to what I've heard today? The more specific your answer is, the better. So let's take a moment to respond to what we've heard this morning. Father, thank you that you are there and that you are not silent and that you have communicated to us in such a compelling way. And I pray for our time of reading the Bible this week. And I pray that you would use it to soften our hearts and open our minds, to shape our attitudes, to make us better followers of Jesus, better neighbors, better workers, better able to be used by you. Thank you. And we are anticipating, looking forward to the new things that you will show us or the things that you will remind us of. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.